Welcome back to Through the Word, Psalm 120 today. It was one of the roughest days of my life. Certainly, one of the darkest periods for me as a minister. I just had a meeting with the elders, and they'd stormed out. In what was to be the most pivotal point in my ministry career, I walked out to the back porch and stood looking up at the hills, wondering how God was going to fix this. The church was either going to split or I was going to be fired. Standing on my back porch, looking out over my backfield where I could see sheep going up and down the mountains on the green hills of Wales. Looking back, it had been tough during my time as a pastor. I'd been gossiped about for a long time, and it hurt. But as my eyes scanned the hills, the words of Psalm 121 leapt into my brain. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where will my help come from? Sure, that's not Psalm 120, where we are today. But what I didn't know was that this Psalm 120 was the first of three that were to be grouped together. Psalm 120, Psalm 121, and Psalm 122. And my life, like these Psalms, was a play in three acts. Looking up at that evening sky, I waited for the last bit of light to dissolve. But God didn't answer. I stood on that porch, waiting. But no Calvary came. Nobody came riding over the hills. And I felt betrayed, let down by God, disappointed. Welcome to Through the Word. Today we begin a new journey into a grouping of 15 psalms known as the Psalm of Ascents. Just enough to make an album. The Psalms of Ascent were sung by the Hebrews as they walked the five hills up to Jerusalem on their annual pilgrimage for Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. They'd leave home, wherever that was, and a mass migration would happen as Jerusalem swelled with worshipers for the three feasts held closely together. You may recall that Jesus got left behind in Jerusalem at the age of 12 when his family left in a big group to start their return journey home. Maybe that's why these 15 psalms are broken into five groupings of three psalms, one for every hill. And each grouping of three psalms has the same rhythm. The first psalm of every three starts with trouble, followed by a psalm of trust, and closed out by the third psalm of triumph, where God comes through. Think about it in this way. In the first psalm, you're starting out, walking down into the valley, into the trouble. But then, in the second psalm, you're starting your ascent and starting to go uphill, starting to trust and climb out until finally, in the third psalm, you're at that next peak with a rewarding vista where you can finally see clearly all this just happened behind you and the road ahead. In my story, I was at that part where I only knew the trouble. Things were going down fast, but I didn't have the trust yet. And it would be some time before I witnessed the triumph. So as a recap, if we map out the rhythm of the Psalms of Ascent, always three there are: trouble, trust, and triumph. So let's start the downward descent into the psalmist's trouble in verse 1. I call on the Lord in my distress, and He answers me. Save me, Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. It's so hard to defend yourself against gossip, isn't it? I mean, who do you hit out at? Normally, it's not even said when you're there. How do you catch every wind of gossip and lies and undo their damage? Because once it's out, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. So the psalmist decides rather than talking to them, he'll talk to the Lord. I call on the Lord in my distress. And I suppose that's what I was doing on the back porch. People much older than me, who'd been at the church much longer than I had, were speaking against me. But the Lord was working. It was like two churches were forming, the one under the old guard, and the waves of newer believers who had gotten saved since I got there. But they had no power. The Spirit had been working, so surely God would save me from their gossiping and deceitful tongues, right? And how I felt that same anger that wells up within the psalmist in verse 3. What will He do to you? And what more besides, you deceitful tongue? Well, I could think of many things. That tongue, Lord, burn it. Burn it with fire. Like spiders and snakes, the only thing to do with them. What wasn't it James who said the tongue is set on fire by the flames of hell? Might as well send them there now, or so I thought. Too bad I didn't allow others to get it as wrong as I did at that point. But the psalmist continues in his deep pain. He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom bush. Isn't the comparison of a sharp arrow a great description of what gossip feels like? The only difference between gossip and an arrow is the wounds of an arrow heal much quicker. Consider the words of the preacher in the Welsh novel, How Green Was My Valley, and see how they echo the psalmist. Gossip, hear it all. Gossip, hear the sound of it. Many a better noise has come from the back. May all such end their days soonest with cancers of the misused tongue and all their vitals, and perish with the special torments of the damned, and pass without hurry into hell, and lie upon the hottest grid through all eternity, with water only an inch beyond reach, and the green pastures of paradise always clear in their sight. Strong words, but that's the kind of words that you say when you've got strong pain. But let's keep moving on in verse 5. Woe to me, that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. Well, I haven't checked the housing market in Meshech, and you probably haven't checked condos in Kedar. But too long have I lived among those who hate peace. After all, I'm on social media. What an apt description. Those who hate peace. Even living in the midst of the others, the psalmist feels outside the circle. Even in the midst of a crowd, he's all alone. And it hurts. So he's talking to God, mourning that he lives in isolation, especially when he doesn't want to fight. In verse 7, he says, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Imagine the confusion. He doesn't know what he's done. He's been for peace. He's trying to get along with everyone. He keeps trying to reach out, extending the olive branch, but they use it against him. They found him guilty without trial. He's not even had a chance to speak for himself. But when he does, anything he says can and will be used against him. So he keeps silent, but not to God. To God, he pours it all out, just like I did on that back porch. This is where the psalm ends. And that abrupt stop of this psalm implies that there was no resolution. That's how it felt to me on that back porch. I imagine that God would immediately answer me. But just as I was naive to imagine God might save me from gossiping tongues, I was just as naive to believe that God wouldn't make me wait. And that's where this psalm, the first one, the downhill walk in the Psalm of Ascents, leaves us. Nothing to do but wait. That's because at the very bottom, there's nothing to do but trust. And that's not what I want to do in the midst of trouble. It's probably not what you want either. I want an answer. I want God to act, and I want it now. But this is a play in three acts, remember? This story isn't over any more than mine was. And to read the conclusion, I'll see you in the next psalm, Psalm 121, on our journey through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.